Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. We are moving through the book of Isaiah. Now we're on the 8th chapter, and we'll be dealing with that entire chapter. But we're just going to read a few verses to get us started. We're going to begin in verse 11. So Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would draw us to your will. Father, meet us at our point of need, and Father, draw us to Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we are dealing with Judah, and Judah is in a season of darkness. They had leaders in the past that had been great. They had leaders that had led them in the right way. They had leaders that put God first. And putting God first, they put the nation on the right track to do the right things at the right time. And God blessed Israel and God blessed Judah again and again and again. King Uzziah, King Jotham, they did such a great job. And the nation of Judah was in the light. But then somebody turned the light out. His name was Ahaz. Ahaz came to the throne. Now you could say, well, you know, Ahaz, poor Ahaz, he was just a kid. He was only 19 or 20 years old. What did he know about leading a nation? What could he do that was right? He was just a young person, and young people, you know, they're just kids. Let me tell you, young people can do a great deal. Young people can excite the world about the right things. I'm thankful for our young people. I'm thankful for our children. I'm thankful for our youth. I'm thankful for what God does in our church life through them. I'm thankful about when they get excited, the church gets excited, and you know, they are a great blessing. You know, it's not your age, it's your faith that is the big deal. And so you can be really old and trust in God, and God will use you as a blessing. You can be really young and trust in God, and God will use you as a blessing. So the fact of his age is not the real deal. It is a matter of his faith. Ahaz's biggest problem was that he did not trust God. He went his own way instead of God's way. And when your leaders are in the dark, you better hold the candle. You know, when the world is going the wrong way, you keep God's light in your heart and in your mind and in your witness. Not only was Judah in darkness, the situation around them was even darker. 740 years before Jesus was born, there were three nations causing trouble for Judah. Syria, the closest neighbor to the north, was always looking for a way to cause them trouble. They were a plotting nation, and they were a nation that had a lot of power and a lot of influence. The language of Syria was Aramaic. Now, you may remember that Aramaic was the main language of the people when Jesus walked the earth. So Syria looked around and they saw Assyria was doing things and attacking people far away. And with Assyria far away, they thought this would be a good time to set themselves up to get out from under the oppression of the Assyrian Empire. Now, Syria was powerful, but they weren't crazy. They could not move alone, and they knew they couldn't stand alone. So they allied with the northern kingdom, Israel. And Israel, some places you will see them called Ephraim. 200 years before, there had been a split among God's people. The nation of Israel split in two. 10 nations, 10 tribes, if you will, formed a confederacy and came together. That 10 tribes became known as Israel. They held on to that name. Well, that left 2 tribes. The 2 tribes that stayed in the land. The 2 tribes that sought to stay faithful to God. The largest of those 2 tribes, the 2 tribes are Judah and Benjamin, and the larger of those is Judah, so they just took the name Judah. And so we have the divided kingdom. The northern kingdom, Israel, was in darkness. In fact, those 10 tribes are still called the lost tribes of Israel. They worshiped idols. They had a list of evil kings that did not trust God. They had no regard for God, no regard for God's will, no regard for God's purpose, and they were going to fall into great judgment. At that time, the time of Isaiah's writing, it would only be 18 years until as a nation they were done completely. But since they're in darkness, they don't even know they're falling. You know, that's a funny thing. When people move into sin, they don't even realize how far away from God they are. And they get further and further and further away. You know, there are people that used to be regulars in God's house. They used to be faithful to Sunday school. They used to do this and that for God. And the key term there is used to. Because a lot of people that used to do things and then no longer do it and walk away from God are not used to be believers. They are never was believers. They were just playing around with God instead of committing themselves to God. And if you're listening to this and you're a used to person, you need to plug into Jesus right now. And you need to be faithful to Jesus right now. So what happens is they ally themselves with Syria. Now, Syria and Israel have no respect for Judah at all. But they really understand they need Judah. They need the forces of Judah if they're going to stand against the forces of the Assyrians. So they try to get Ahaz to join them. Secretly, they are plotting to get Ahaz to come over to them, and then they're going to do away with Ahaz altogether, and they're going to put their own king on the throne so they can do all they want to with Judah. Now, there had been a major force for over 300 years of dominance, and that was Assyria. Assyria was the one that everybody feared. They were everybody's threat. They wanted land, they wanted power, and they had the power to get the land. The Assyrians were so ruthless, they caused terror wherever they went. Just the very name of them would cause people to hide in fear. You may remember another prophet of the same time. His name was Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. You know what Nineveh was? Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And so this evil place is where God told his prophet to go and to seek to lead them to God and to tell them the truth. Now, nobody liked the Assyrians. When they conquered a place, they made it very clear that they were in charge. They would find out who the leaders of the city were. They would take those leaders. They would put them in front of the city, and then they would impale them on spears, and they would stick their bodies up around town. You know, they didn't have a lot of uprisings after they did that. It just kind of quieted the rebellion down. And so they did this everywhere. And this is the place, the capital of this place is where Jonah was sent. It was a terrible place. It was a fearful place, and Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. Some people have said he didn't want to go because they didn't have faith. No, he didn't want to go because he hated them. He hated them. He hated what they stood for. He hated who they were. And so he did not want to go. Ahaz does not want to put himself with the northern kingdom in Syria. He kind of understands that that's not a good place for them. And he has actually done the math, even though he's young. He understands even those three nations together could not take on Assyria. So what he does is he tries to align himself with Assyria. He thinks he's going to be okay. He's going to put himself on the side of the bad guys, the big bad guys. And when he puts himself on their side, everything's going to be fine. What he doesn't understand is ungodly people can't be trusted. And so Assyria could not be trusted. Judah was in a dark time. Things would only get darker if they joined the northern kingdom, and they would be darker if they joined with Assyria. The hope of light, security, and peace was not going to be found in the governments of that day. By the way, light, security, and peace, isn't that what we want? We're not going to find it in the governments of our day. Where are you going to turn to a nation that's going to give you hope, a nation that's going to give you peace, a nation that's going to give you security? China? A lot of talk about China today. China owns a lot of America, apparently. And so some people are thinking of China being the force. India? India, oh my, the forces of the people that India has. The Middle East, always in disarray, always in war. Or godless America? Listen. The governments of our day are seeking darkness instead of light. We need to turn on the lights. So where is Ahaz to turn? And a better question is, where are you going to turn? Where are you going to turn in your life to find the peace, the security, the hope that God wants in your life? You have some choices. They had choices. Signs or sorrow? In 8:3, here's Isaiah speaking. He says, And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name, ready for this, Mirshalal Hashbaz. How would you like to carry that around? Mirshalal Hashbaz. This name was forecast to Isaiah before the child was conceived. God had him put this name down in a contract before this child was conceived. And God gave Ahaz signs, you see, to follow in the light. This was one of those signs. Isaiah was a prophet, and God had him name his children in such a way to stand before the king and to be a witness to the king. Now, last week we talked about his firstborn son, Shirah-Jasub. Boy, this guy could pick names. You know, sometimes I look around and people are picking really weird names today for their children. Well, apparently that's been a long trail of people through the years that have picked weird names for their children. So here is Shirah-Jasub. Try putting that in one of those little blocks that they have you fill out when you write your name. Or even worse, Mirshalah Hashbaz. Five syllables. It's all there. These names were prophecies. Shirajasub, a remnant will return. By that boy being in the throne room, by him being in front of the king, every time his name was mentioned, it was reminding the king that no matter what happened in the world, no matter who was in charge, no matter what country went up or down, no matter if Judah is taken into captivity, no matter if all looks lost, there will be a remnant of believers that will still be there. God will have his group. God will have his people. And I want to tell you, in today's world, we are in a city. Do you know that we are the most unchurched county in the state of Georgia? Right now, only 12% of the population is in all the churches combined. Now, just a little while ago, we thought we had 40%. But now we're down to 12%. We're in a city that's turned their backs on God and turned their backs on God's desire. They haven't followed God's will. But even though there are so many that aren't in church, you're here. God has his remnant. And listen, the remnant are the ones that need to be a force to draw others to Jesus. I still believe there's an opportunity for the remnant that's in Columbus to see a great revival and see souls saved and see churches filled once again, including this one. God will have his remnant. You may turn from God, but some are still going to stand for him. If you stand with God, there will be some who will stand with you. You won't be alone. God's work will continue no matter what anybody does. Now, God gave this sign of Isaiah's second son, Mirshalah Hashbaz. This too is a witness and a sign to Ahaz. Mirshalah Hashbaz means speed to plunder. God is telling Ahaz he didn't have to fear Syria or Israel because their actions of disbelief was going to speed them to ruin. And they would soon be destroyed. In verse 4, he speaks of Damascus, the capital of Syria, Samaria, the capital of Israel. Both of these are going to fall, and they're going to fall at the hand of Assyria. In fact, he prophesies this. Before Mirshalah Hashbaz could say his name, could say mother or mama or daddy, within 2 years, Assyria would destroy the Northern Kingdom's alliance. When you fail to heed the clear sign of God, the darkness will bring sorrow into your life. And so those northern countries, they disallowed God's faith. They pushed themselves back from God, and darkness covered them, and they came to destruction. Mirshalah Hashbaz was a sign to Ahaz that God's got this covered. God was going to take care of things. Verse 6, Judah refused the waters of Siloah. Now, Siloah is a small channel that feeds water into Jerusalem. It is a very important water source. Siloah was a sign of God's care and God's protection and God standing by his people. Siloah was God saying, I've got this, trust me. But instead of looking to God, Ahaz is looking after the Assyrians. And so you see in the scripture that it talks about the Euphrates. Well, that was the Assyrians' waterway. And so Ahaz doesn't want the cool, refreshing flow of God's Spirit in his life and in his nation. Oh, no, he wants the powerful rush of the Euphrates, of the Assyrians, helping him out. They wanted the Euphrates, so what did God do? God said, if that's what you want, you can have it. If you want ungodliness, you can have it. And with it will come consequences, and that Euphrates will flood up to your neck. If you reject the signs of the Lord, if you reject the truth of the Lord, if you reject the word of the Lord, and you seek after the power of men and the direction of darkness, God will let you have what you want. You want a godless society? God will give you that. If you want wickedness of men instead of the holiness of God, well, you can choose that. You want a place where Christian morals are not held high? Well, God will let you have that. As a man sows, so shall he also reap. There are consequences to your choices. When people choose against God, there will be results, and they won't be pretty. They rejected God's signs, and so they tasted the sorrows as a result. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose God's signs? Or are you going to choose sorrows? Are you going to choose the sanctuary or a stone? In verse 14, and he shall be a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a trap, for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Ahaz and Judah lived in fear because they were fearful of the conspiracy. They in their minds couldn't get it out of their way. They couldn't sleep at night because of the conspiracy. They were thinking about the northern kingdom, those two kingdoms coming down and crushing them, and that conspiracy took their mind and their heart. They couldn't think of anything else. When they turned from that, they thought the Assyrians were going to come and overrun them, and they couldn't think of anything else. They were focusing in on the conspiracy. In verse 12, he says, do not say conspiracy. You know what we have in our day? We have conspiracy theories. We have people that spend all their time on conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories to drive up fear. Conspiracy theories that will take your mind away from God. And maybe you're dealing with some in your own life, and there's this conspiracy that's going on, and it hasn't really become reality. It's just kind of out there somewhere. And so you tie on to its fear. And you fear the conspiracy. In the New Testament, the Bible says, you know, that to each day is its own evil. You know, deal with today. Don't worry about what's going to be out there somewhere, may or may not happen. Deal with today. And what do you need to deal with today? You need to put your trust in God. The difference in a true believer and the rest of the world is we should not run on fear of conspiracies. We should run on faith in Almighty God. Verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let God be the one you respect. Let God be the one you put your faith in. Don't worry about the sky falling. Don't worry about what Russia's going to do. Don't have your mind on what China may or may not do. Don't have your concerns on these things that are out there somewhere in the world of conspiracy. Instead, focus on God and trust him. He's God. He can handle it. If God is your sanctuary, if your trust and fear and respect is in him, then he is also your protector. I don't know about you. I would rather have God protecting me than any of the forces that may come against me. Psalms says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. I have found that verse to be true. when I put my trust in him, he's got my back, he's got my front, he's got my sides, he's my strength, he is the one that can get me through. Why in the world should I fear some conspiracy that may or may not be when I've got a God that I know who is? If God is first before your eyes, then you will see everything else through his will. And since he is more powerful than all, he can handle it. Whatever you're afraid of, he can handle it. God presented them with signs, with the word of the prophet. But instead of bowing before Lord God, they went with what they thought was right in their own eyes. They went with their own selfishness. They went with their own fears. Instead of entering into God's protection as a sanctuary, they just tripped over God and went their own way to judgment. The picture is one of somebody running into trouble and hitting a stone and just falling over. My friend, when the going gets tough for you as a believer, run to God. Don't run away from him, run to him. If you run away from him, you're just going to fall over things. Run to him. In verse 15, they will be caught in a trap and taken away. They will be broken into pieces because they just trip over their unbelief. Jesus says, what then is it that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Our attitude toward Jesus determines our spiritual warfare. If we put Jesus first, he's going to take care of us. But if we don't, we'll just trip over him and be broken into pieces. So Isaiah's laying out these choices. Signs or sorrow. Sanctuary or a stone. Scripture or superstition. In verse 19 and 20, when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto wizards that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law, to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You know, it really is amazing. People will turn to anything. People will turn to superstitions, and they will live by superstitions. People will turn to horoscopes, and they've got to get their information of their daily horoscope. There was a time that was dying out. Now it's coming back. People will go to palm readers. And, you know, we have a few around town, and you know, just trying to get extra information. People will go to those who say they can talk to the dead. You know, I understand there recently was a television show of some lady that talked to the dead and would bring people messages from those that are dead. May I suggest to you, if you're going to go try to talk to some dead person about how not to be dead, they don't know because they're dead. People are looking for darkness, trying to find light, and they're not going to find it there. People of our day, turning away from Scripture, taking the advice of people that just don't know. Listen, God has given us His Word. In His Word is directions for all that you need. He can guide you in life. He can guide you through difficulty. He can give you strength when all else is failing. He is the one that has provided for you to lift you up, to turn lights on in your life and through your life to others. Don't go anywhere else. People are looking to darkness, and they're getting darker. So Judah went into darkness because they would not pay attention to God's signs. They would not accept God's sanctuary. They turned away from God's word. And oh, how that's true of America. America that will not look to the sign of the cross, will not learn from the cross that God has given us, will not pay attention to what God has put before us. America that will not help God's, will not turn to God's sanctuary. You know, all the churches of this city should be overflowing with people seeking God. But they're out there seeking all kinds of stuff that are not God. And they turn from God's word. People laugh at God's word. I will tell you that whatever they do or whatever they deal with, they will perish. This will be eternal. God's word has in it the formulas you need to deal with your life no matter what you're facing, and God's power is sufficient to get you through. Don't give yourself to conspiracy. Don't give yourself to being afraid about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Trust the God that's got you today, and trust Him to guide you through whatever tomorrow brings. If you're facing a dark world, step into the light. And if you don't know, the light of the world is Jesus. Have you come to Jesus? Has there been a time when you've allowed Jesus to come into your heart to save your soul? Listen, you want to deal with all the issues that are going on in the world? The main thing you need to do is get right with Jesus. If Jesus is in your heart, if you are following Him, you are prepared for whatever happens. And you don't have to be afraid of tomorrow, because you got the King of Kings today. So if you don't have Him, would you come to know Him? And believers, you believe in the Lord. You believe in His word. Don't turn to anything else. Don't let fear overcome you. Put God first. Follow Him. Start sharing the light with the dark world around you. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What about you? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray right now that You would move in our hearts. Father, some listening do not know Jesus. Father, they've not allowed God to come into their life, and now is their opportunity. Let them know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus came for them, Jesus died for them. Jesus took their sins to the cross. Father, He was buried and rose again for them. Let them come to know You this morning. Those that are here, just to walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus. Father, some believers, Lord, today needs to be the day that they become faithful to You. To put aside everything else, to put aside the fears of this world, and just to trust Jesus. Father, I pray that as believers, we will share the testimony. We will share the light. We will let it shine. And Father, that there will be a blaze across Columbus, Georgia, as the light of Jesus seizes the hearts and minds of this city. Use us, Father, as never before. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come as we sing?